Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, here's your question of the day to kick off our conversation this hour. Would you say that your faith life involves adventure, risk, the unexpected? Just pause, take a deep breath. I want you to just give me an honest answer on this one. Would you say that your faith life involves adventure, risk, the unexpected? And it's not that you actually need to jump out of a plane to prove that you have faith, but if it's impossible to please God without faith, and if faith always involves risk of some kind, why do so many live earthbound lives? Well, today my guest is author Aaron Treadway, and he joins the program to share how we can awake to the unexpected adventures of everyday faith. And we'll get him on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. If you are brand new to the Faith Radio family listening in one of our new markets, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your mailing address. Tell me where you're listening from. And we always like to draw a couple names and send some books off of our Faith Radio shelf and a handwritten note just to thank you for listening. But also, we'd love to get you a welcome packet that you have to sign up for, just because we want to send it if you want it. Go to website myfaithradio.com and just request your welcome packet. Get all kinds of information about our programming and just some fun information there. Also, Max Lucado's got a book coming out in September. It's called Anxious for Nothing. Well, his wonderful ministry really has allowed us to have a good stack of these. So we're giving away 3 copies every day for this month before the book even releases. All you have to do, again, is hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, sign up to win, and I sure hope you do. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Aaron Treadway combined his love of sport and culture to create a unique global platform that has allowed him to travel to over 130 countries. Raised in California, Treadway spent the last 18 years of his life playing and coaching professional soccer on 6 continents. Founder and former executive director of the Cleveland City Stars professional soccer team, he now works as the director of global advancement for Ambassadors Football International. He's been all over the world. Aaron, welcome to the show. So good to meet you.
Thanks so much, Susie. Great to be with you.
Looking forward to the conversation. And Aaron, we start every single conversation every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been sort of sitting around pondering lately that you can share with us.
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that, because I recently accepted the role of a lead pastor of a local church in Cleveland, Ohio. And we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Hmm. And my life verse is Matthew 6:33, and I just preached this verse just this past Sunday.
Fantastic.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And it's just been a great guide in my faith journey over the last 25 years or so that I've been walking with Christ, and it's just a powerful verse.
Say more about, you know, what it means to seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you.
Yeah, I think it means a lot to me, because I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up with any particular spiritual background. And when I was 19 years old, I was pursuing soccer. You know, in a lot of ways, I guess I would say soccer was my God growing up. And I did everything in the pursuit of soccer. And so the first thing I sought, you know, morning, noon, and night was soccer and what I believed and hoped that soccer would bring me. And when I was 19 years old, I had this radical experience. I actually came to know Christ through reading Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis in my dorm room at California State University. And nobody had recommended this book. Nobody had, you know, I didn't actually go to church. I had never been to church still. I just picked up this book one day, read it cover to cover, January 17th. A long time ago, a number of years ago, and the Lord changed my life 180 degrees on that evening that I had read that book. And very shortly thereafter, I started reading the Gospel of Matthew, and I came to this verse in Matthew 6, and in verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God." And I thought to myself, that is so different than what I have been seeking. I've been seeking first after my own righteousness, after my own desires, after my own hopes and dreams. And yet Jesus says that if you seek first after God's kingdom, he adds all the things that he desires for your life unto you.
Amazing. Aaron, and you think about it, Aaron, it's not even like when you started to seek first his kingdom, then your life shriveled. I mean, God really expanded his territory in and through you, didn't he?
Most definitely. And I think that's a big misperception about the faith journey of the Christian life, is that when we come to know Jesus, that some people think that like everything that's fun and everything that's adventurous about our life has to dissipate. And yet I think actually it's quite the contrary, that God wants so much more than we could ever hope or imagine, Ephesians 3:20 says.
Indeed, indeed. When you open up your book with a story about your friend Harry, I'd love for you to tell us about Harry and why you wrote about him.
Yeah, I love to tell the story of meeting this guy, Harry. He's one of those guys in the gym. As an athlete, I worked out a lot, and I used to go to this particular gym, and I met this guy. And he's one of those guys in the gym. He's just got all the latest gear, you know. He's got all the GPS watch and the Nike shirt and all the great gear. And this guy happened to be, when I met him, he was probably 85 or 90 years old, you know. And so he's not your typical guy in the gym that you would expect to have all this latest gear. And yet, you know, he's got it all. And the funny, or at least the interesting thing about this guy is, most days when I saw this individual, he was sound asleep on one of the semi-recumbent bicycles. And so he's got all this stuff, but he's sleeping. He's not even using it, you know? And I started to think one day that sometimes my life is kind of like that, especially my life of faith, that God has given me all these gifts and talents and resources. In fact, he's given me everything that I could hope to have or need to accomplish anything that he would want me to do. And yet so often I think that I'm asleep. I'm not fully using the things that God has given me for the purposes for which he's intended. And so subsequent to meeting Harry, I started to pray and ask God, how could I be more awake to Jesus in my life and more awake to the things that he wants me to be about?
Boy, that's beautiful. And I love that you personalized that, Aaron, because right away my thoughts went to, you know, the churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, and I don't remember which church it was, but kind of having the reputation of being alive but being dead, and, you know, wake up, arise from the slumber. And I would say that analogy of perfect gear with a sleeping person inside does represent certain aspects of the larger body of Christ. And it is time for us to wake up and appropriate everything God's made available to us, you know?
Amen. Yeah, I've had a wonderful opportunity over the years to speak around the world. I've spoken in about 140 different countries now, and had opportunity to connect with so many amazing churches around the world. And Susie, that's when one of my growing fears, at the same time that it's amazing to connect with these churches, it's just this growing fear that so many of us in the church, we're asleep. And God has more. God wants more. God is you know beckoning us as the church to wake up and calling us to more. And yet I think that's our great challenge, is are we going to wake up, or are we going to be content to have everything and yet not fully realize the potential that we have?
And the ripple effect of that is so staggering when you think we're not just here for ourselves. We're here for the sphere where God has entrusted to us. And you think about, I think it was A.B. Simpson said, you can have as much of God as you want. And to think that if we are living earthbound lives, if we're living in constant reaction to our stuff and not in response to his promises, we're not the only ones who miss out. But all those God has appointed us to touch, I mean, there's a lot at stake here, isn't there?
Most definitely. I think, you know, growing up, it was just about me. And, you know, I didn't go to church. I didn't have any faith background. And so me was the greatest pursuit there was. And yet when I came to faith at the age of 19, you know, I said that God just did 180 degree with my life. And really what that consisted or revolved around was this realization that I am not here for me. You know, I think it was Max Lucado that wrote the book, It's Not About Me, a number of years ago. And that was instrumental in my understanding of what faith is all about, that we are here for other people, for the kingdom and for the glory of God.
Well, I can't wait. I want you to tell the story about that you talk about in the chapter, The Son of a King, where you traveled internationally without your passport. But I don't want to interrupt you, so I'm going to take an early break here so that he has time to tell it on the other side. This is quite a story. Talking to Aaron Treadway, professional soccer player, now pastor, written a great book, Outrageous, Awake to the Unexpected Adventures of Everyday Faith. And I belly laughed. He's such a funny guy. He tells really funny stories in here, but it's also really great content. Just, it'll wake you up, much like he's doing, I think, right now. 5 copies. So email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with 2 S's, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Aaron Treadway, professional athlete and a pastor, and he's written an amazing book titled Outrageous, Awake to the Unexpected Adventures of Everyday Faith. I really love this book. I love sitting in my office belly laughing at your stories, Aaron, and just very moved by your faith as well. So I want friends to have this. We've got 5 copies. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So you have this chapter titled Son of a King, where you tell a story about a time when you traveled internationally without your passport, and I could feel myself tensing up as I'm picturing you already in a different country and realizing you don't have your passport, wondering even how you got there without your passport. But set that story up and tell us if you would.
Yeah, that's been one of the crazier events of my life. Today you'd never get out of this United States without your passport. And I must be honest, my journey on that particular trip didn't originate in the United States. I was in the country of South Africa, and I was traveling to a neighboring country called Mozambique. And to make a long story short, it was when I landed on the tarmac, which isn't quite like we experience here in the United States. It was kind of like a gravel runway. And I got out of the plane, and you duck under the wing of the plane. You're not entering like some kind of, you know, giant off ramp, but you kind of walking on the gravel there where you landed. And I realized I didn't have my passport. And so, you know, I said a quick prayer. I had gone to Mozambique, for the kingdom, for the gospel, you know, and I was supposed to speak for a few days, and we were doing some evangelism with a church there. And all that to say that as I'm walking up, I said, Jesus, I'm here for you. You're going to have to get me into the country. And just as I was finishing that prayer, I looked up and I saw this woman. My name is Aaron. And I see this woman, and she's holding a sign that says, Señor Aaron. Mm-hmm. And so Mr. Aaron, right?
Yeah.
And what are the chances that in Mozambique they speak Portuguese? So hence the Señor Aaron. Mm-hmm. And so I'm seeing this woman, and she's got this sign. And so I go up to her, and I say, my name is Aaron. And she immediately starts kissing me. And I was single at the time. And
sign
I,
from
I was
God.
Happy, but she's kissing me on cheek, and she says, Señor Aaron, welcome to Mozambique. And it happened really fast from there. You know, it's all kind of a blur, but, you know, she takes my bag, and we're walking through this, through the airport all of a sudden, and somehow we bypassed customs, and we bypassed baggage claim, and somehow she got my bags, and we're walking through the airport, and as we're walking through the airport, I'm seeing people literally bow down on the airport floor as I'm walking by. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, get up. Don't you know who I am? I'm not really anybody special. Just, you know, like, certainly you shouldn't bow down. And it's just so interesting, because I get out of the airport, and now I'm in a car, and this all happens in the space of 5 or 10 minutes, and we're in this car, and it's this really well-dressed woman who'd welcomed me, and it's this really heavy guy who's eating sunflower seeds. That's what I remember most. And he is racing through the streets of this capital city called Maputo. And now I'm convinced that this is the mafia. This was a very poor judgment on my part. And I am, you know, moving towards my impending doom here. Mm. And so now I'm praying a totally different prayer. You know, it's curiosity that killed the cats, and I feel I'm moving in that direction. So I'm praying this different prayer. And the phone rings, and it's not my phone because I didn't even have a cell phone back in these days, but this lady's got a cell phone, and she gives it to me. She says, it's for you. So I take the phone. I say, hello? And the person on the other line or on the other end of the phone says, is everything all right? And I start screaming, who is this? Who's over there? And this person says, that's not the question. Is everything all right? And so I said, well, I guess everything is all right. And so the person says, I'll see you in 5 minutes. Long, long story short, we pull into this bathroom tile store 5 minutes later. And I knew that's where all the bad stuff goes down, right? In the mob movies, it's always in a bathroom tile store that bad things happen. And so we're in this bathroom tile store parking lot. And wouldn't you know it, it's the one person that I know in all of Mozambique. It's my friend Mark. And I see him, and immediately my countenance is just like, whew, you know, I breathe a sigh of relief. He comes up to me, and I start to recount this tale of how people are bowing down in the airport, and, you know, all these things transpire, and I don't have my passport, and how did I get in? And I just remember my friend, he puts his hand on my shoulder. He says, well, I realize that you must not have your passport because you never called me and asked me for a visa either. I said, well, okay, that's good. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I called this lady, and he points to the lady who had picked me up, and he said, I knew that she had a special connection and she could get you in. I said, well, what's her connection? He said, she is the attaché. She's the secretary to the president of Mozambique. I said, well, what in the world did you say to the president of Mozambique that I could get in without a passport? He said, well, she told the president today in their morning meeting that the son of a king is coming to Mozambique. And so we have to welcome the son of a king as the son of the king. And I didn't really get it at the time, actually. I said, well, who is the son of the king? And my friend said, well, of course, you are. And I said, that's impossible. You know, this is, you know, like international espionage. All these thoughts are going through my mind. And he again puts his hand on my shoulder. He said, don't worry, Aaron. She just didn't say which king you are the son of. And of course, he was talking about how the Bible says repeatedly that in Christ Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the great high king. And yet so often, and most of the time, that's not how I walk around. I don't walk around with this realization that this is my true identity, that I am a son of the great high king.
And that's why I wanted you to tell that story. So amazing. And you further wrote this. And a friend listening today, I want you to lean in and pay attention to every word here because I think it's a word for you. Aaron writes this, I've realized that although it doesn't seem natural for me to think of myself as a son of a king, that's the invitation God has to offer. We get to choose how we respond to the invitation and also what we do with this outrageous position we receive. The opportunities, possibilities, and even adventures that arise as a result of our identity in Jesus might extend beyond the ordinary. It might seem outrageous, but I want to awake to the identity that God has offered me so that I can leverage my position as a son of a king for all that he's created me to be. I feel so strongly, Aaron, and we talk about this often on the show, that we'll never walk in the fullness of what God has until we know the fullness of who we are in him. I mean, this is these two things, I feel like so many of us fall beneath our spiritual privilege, where it's hard for us to believe our identity in him, and then it's hard for us to receive his kingdom through us, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of those things, this side of heaven, I know I can speak for myself, I'm going to be working through this concept of my identity in Christ, you know, probably all my earthly years. Yeah. And it's just so hard to really embrace how much God loves us. And he loves us so much that he wouldn't just invite us to hang out with him, but he actually says, you are mine. I chose you. You're my son. You're my daughter. And that changes everything, or at least it should.
Amen. Well, we've got about 3 minutes to our bottom of the hour break, but I want to know just on a personal level, how you've managed to, you know, what's helped you apprehend this idea of your identity in Christ? Because I so agree with you. I don't think anybody can ever say, well, I've arrived, until we actually arrive, because we are all a pile of contradictions. So talk, if you would, just about ways that God has helped you walk in it and know it better, you know?
Yeah, I think because my life and probably for most of us, you know, for so long, I pursued my own stuff, my own glory, my own righteousness. You know, as an athlete, I lived for the roar of the crowd, and I wanted people to think well of me, and to, you know, to think that I had a good name. And yet I started to read the Bible at age 19, and I started to see this totally, you know, sometimes it's called the upside down kingdom. You know, you want to be first, then you should be last. And all the different things that Jesus says throughout the Sermon on the Mount. And it just really started to change my paradigm and my understanding of what life really was about. And it wasn't then my glory that I was trying to pursue most, but it was is ultimately his. And, you know, that for me changed everything. And Susie, I don't get it right all the time, definitely. This is, like I said, it's going to be probably for the rest of my earthly days, but definitely this is my pursuit of just trying to understand and really trying more and more to embrace who God has made me to be in him.
Amen. Watching that clock, got about a minute and a half, but I'd love for you to share if you can think of anything that surprised you along the way as you stepped out in faith and made yourself available to what God has.
Susie, every day, almost, something surprises me. You know, one of the simplest things that I talk a lot about when I speak, or when I, you know, in this book, Outrageous, I talk about how sometimes we look at other people and we think, wow, like that person is, you know, like they've got these gifts, or I really admire this about them, but I could never be like that, or I don't have those gifts. And, you know, one of the things that surprised me most is just the simple ways that God shows up every single day when we're open and willing to be used by him. And even just today, I had a conversation in a local coffee shop with somebody, and it was really just a simple 30-second conversation, but it was all about Christ, with somebody who's really never been to church. And it's just surprising when we change our paradigm to God, what do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish today? How he oftentimes shows up.
Beautiful. Talking to Aaron Treadway today, title of his book, Outrageous, Awake to the Unexpected Adventures of Everyday Faith. And you know what? It's really good for your soul. It's actually good even for your cells to belly laugh. And some of Aaron's stories will make you belly laugh, I'm telling you. But great, great content, too. Just an invitation to live fully awake and full of faith. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Love that song. Do you believe that's true? There's no such thing as impossible. Talking about living by faith today, joining Jesus on that faith adventure, which means you lay down your reputation, your comfort zone, your sense of all the things that just hem you in and make you feel like you don't have to take any risks. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to quit their job and go to a third world country, but I do believe God is constantly inviting us out of our self-protective boundaries so that we can live an outrageous life. Well, talking to Aaron Treadway today, and his book is titled Outrageous, Awake to the Unexpected Adventures of Everyday Faith. And, you know, as you've done that, you've traveled all over the world, you've been a professional soccer player and you're pastor now. No doubt you've had your own fears and foes to contend with. What have those been, as much as you're able to share? What's it been like for you? What kind of opposition have you faced and battles have you had to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially I actually, when I was 21 years old, I felt the Lord calling me to do something more. And I didn't know what that looked like at the time. I had just started playing soccer professionally, and it was a thing that I had aspired for my whole life. And it finally came to pass. And I, you know, was playing soccer, and that was my profession. It was the fulfillment of my dream. And yet, one day I felt the Lord was saying, you know, it's time to do something more for my kingdom. And, you know, I think that looks different for each of us. And so one of my fears growing up was that I would have to go to the third world sometime. If I became a Christian, he'd call me to the third world. And I remember actually distinctly praying when I prayed to receive Christ in the dorm room of my at college when I was 19. And I remember saying to God, I'm going to become a Christian on these three conditions. And I don't know if you've ever heard that, but that was definitely true of me. And here's the three conditions. I'm on my hands and knees in my dorm room. It's 3 a.m. I say, condition number one, God, that I'm never going to have to be a pastor. Wow. Condition number two, that I'm never going to have to be a missionary and travel, you know, to all these weird places. And condition number three, I'm never going to have to stand up in front of a group of people and speak in public. And I said, on those three conditions, I'm willing to be a Christian. And, you know, I tell young people and old people, don't make deals with God.
Amen.
He does what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. I'm a pastor. I've been a missionary for over 20 years. And I speak probably 4 or 5 days a week. It's the primary thing I do within ministry.
That's funny.
So I've had plenty of fear, Susie.
Who was it that said, you want to make God laugh? Just tell him your plans, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's charmed, I'm sure, by your conditions. So, okay, here's a story that you tell that I really want our listeners to hear. You were invited to Sudan to play in a soccer game, and you invited your friend Shaq. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Shaq and then about what happened and with this opportunity.
Yeah, Shaq was not the really tall African-American basketball player. That wasn't, I don't know him, although he is a great guy too, I'm sure. This is a guy that was a soccer player, and actually he was at one time the number one draft pick in America for the Major League of Soccer at UCLA, and it's an amazing story. He has an amazing testimony. Steve Shaq is his name, and he went into vocational ministry later in his life, but long story short, we got this invitation to travel to Sudan at a very hostile time in that country's history. It was about 10 or 12 years ago, actually, and it was before the south of Sudan became its own country. They succeeded from North Sudan. And anyway, long story short, the president at that time was a guy called al-Bashir, and Sudan was on the United Nations blacklist, and he was looking for a way to show the West that Sudan was at least open to Christians. At that time, over 2 million Christians had been killed in Sudan, and I'm not pinning that on him as a leader, but certainly the West was concerned about what was happening in Sudan at that time, and he was looking for a way to say, we're empathetic to the West, so he chose soccer. And a friend of a friend of a friend called me and said, could you find a team of guys who were, you know, professional level guys to come over here and play a high level game against the national team of Sudan? And Steve Shaq was one of those guys. And I just remember, you know, Steve had just asked his girlfriend to get married. So they had just gotten engaged. We had other players who had just had babies. And so they were new dads. And I just remember being in South Africa, getting ready to fly to Sudan. And the guy who was working with the relief organization that was bringing us in said, you know, guys, before we go to the Sudan tomorrow, I want you to know you don't have to go. But if you do go, I want you to write a letter to your friends and family and tell your friends and family why you died for the cause of Christ.
Amazing.
And I just remember the feeling and also the emotion in the room at that time. I mean, there's, you know, 20 professional soccer players, like, you know, just jaws on the floor. Like, what do you mean we died for the cause of Christ? We haven't died for the cause of Christ. And he responded, no, but you need to know, if you choose to get on that plane tomorrow, that's a very real possibility. And so I want you to think about, are you willing You know, maybe it's not going to happen. We pray and we're going to believe it's not going to happen. But you got to know, if you choose to go to Sudan under these circumstances in this way, that that is a possibility. And I want your friends and family to know why you decided that that was something you were willing to do.
It's just stunning. So did you all have talks with each other? Did you each personally just kind of go inward and kind of figure this out on your own? What happened next?
Yeah, good question. I wasn't sure what was going to happen because I was actually one of the leaders of the trip, and I was wrestling with my own feelings and my own emotions. Like, whoa, I wasn't expecting, you know, that we were going to write these letters, because it really makes you examine, you know, why do you believe and what are you willing to do in respect to your faith and desire to follow after the leading of Christ in your life. And for me, and I can't speak for all the guys on the team, but, you know, it's interesting, Susie, every single one of those guys got on the plane the next day. And we all wrote letters that evening. And I know my letter was short. My letter was real short, actually. My letter was three words. My letter said, "He is worthy." And that was all I could think of. But I think it was sufficient, you know, at that time. And even now, I, you know, he's worthy of my life. And if that was the fate that we were going to enter into, I wanted people to know that he is worthy. Mm-hmm. Jesus is worthy of my life because he gave everything for me. You know, we got on the plane, Susie, and we went, and, you know, obviously we're having this conversation 12 years later. We all survived, and it was an amazing opportunity, because I remember at halftime, we were actually losing the game, and I was the captain of the team. But, like, I don't know if you've heard of Al Jazeera, largest Islamic satellite television station in the world. They were broadcasting this game live in about 60 different countries around the world, mostly Islamic countries. And at halftime of the game, I'm standing with Al Jazeera reporter with this translator who happened to be an underground pastor and myself. And Al Jazeera is asking me these questions. And at one point they say, "Aaron, tell us, why would this team of Americans come to Khartoum, Sudan at this particular time in history?" And I just remember looking at this translator. I know he's an underground pastor. Nobody else knows it. And I just remember he paused, and then he pumped his fist. And I took that as to say, go for it. And so for the next 30 seconds, it wasn't long, I just shared this real quick testimony of how Christ, when I was 19, had entered into my life, radically changed me. And I saw the hope of the gospel, and I was living the hope of the gospel out because of Christ's great love for me and for others. That's why I would come to Sudan, and that's why our team ultimately came. And it was just this amazing thing, because that game got replayed and replayed on Al Jazeera, and I don't know how many times, 6 or 7 different times, with that testimony of Christ as a part of the game.
How did the one who was being translated to, how did he respond to your bold testimony of faith?
Well, you know, he was speaking Arabic, so I'm not exactly sure what he was saying. He was also translating, you know, through my guy as well. But I just remember the smile on that translator's face. Mm. And I remember we got letters for months after that trip, mostly from Southern Sudanese followers of Christ. And they were writing when they found out that we were followers of Christ. And they were writing us letters for months and months after, saying, "Thank you for coming to Khartoum, because we realized by your visit that God has not forgotten us." You know, for all these years, 20 years, they had been oppressed and they had been beaten down, and so many of them had died for the cause of Christ. And somehow God used this soccer ball and this team of American soccer players to bring hope. And, you know, it made me think of 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 1:13. It says, "God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise." And that's what I always think about the soccer ball.
Yeah, wow.
It's just this foolish thing, and yet, you know, it's a tool that God gave me,
And the thing is, Susie, I believe earnestly that God has given every single one of us different tools to use to connect with people.
Wow, that's such a great, great word. I just got to ask this before our last break. I know that anytime you step out in a obedience and a faith that really costs you, you're changing the process. I just feel like I feel like when I do that, I walk in a new level of just a power and an awareness of his presence in my life. And I want to just know, how did that impact you by just going, okay, we're doing this, and you do it, and then you get back home. Anything happen in you that just a sense of God's commitment to you and yours to him?
I do have, yes, yes. And it's so interesting because I've been on a lot of trips and I've led a lot of short-term mission projects, but there are no guys in the entire world that I'm closer to 12 years later than the guys that went on that trip.
Wow.
And there's something interesting about, you know, really laying your life on the line with other people and saying, Jesus is worthy of it. And it's just amazing what God did amongst our little group. But you're absolutely right, Susie. When we step out in faith, it's so interesting because we always think, you know, I'm giving this up or I'm laying this down. But it's so fascinating that God always honors you in that. And it seems to me that he always gives back more than you gave up.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's just true. I just, there's something so powerful about obedience. And I just know it's so precious to God when we obey him, even when it doesn't suit us. And I just have this feeling someone's listening today, and you know what God's asking you to do. You keep wanting to pray about it. You keep wanting other people to pray about it. And you just hear the whisper of the Lord saying, I've already told you what I want you to do. Now you got to just do it. So just do it, baby. Talking to Aaron Treadway today, title of his book, Outrageous, Awake to the Unexpected Adventures of Everyday Faith. He writes like he speaks. So I just know you'll thoroughly enjoy this book. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute.
He started something good.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Aaron Treadway today, a former professional soccer player. Actually, he's still a professional soccer player, right? Because you've always been, well, you're just a professional soccer player. And he's a pastor and he's a speaker. And he's written the book, Outrageous, Awake to the Unexpected Adventures of Everyday Faith. It's just been an awesome conversation. So you've got a chapter, Aaron, titled Stolen. I'd love for you to tell us a story in that chapter, if you would.
Great. Yeah. It's funny, Susie. A lot of people ask me about that chapter for some reason.
Well, the funny part is about the moccasins that you tried to drive over and tried to bury, and they just wouldn't go away. But you go ahead and tell the rest of the story.
Well, we all have those friends that collect things that we're just like, why do you have that thing? And, you know, my friend Kent, and I was the best man in his wedding. He was the best man in my wedding some years ago. And when we were both single guys and we were a lot younger, we went on some adventures together. And the thing is, Kent always had this pair of moccasin shoes, and he had them way longer than he should have had them. I mean, these things were so old and smelly and not nice. And, you know, I was always trying to get rid of those shoes. But we went on this trip to Italy, and, you know, and I kept trying to get rid of Kent's shoes. But, you know, the thing about that trip was we were so excited to be on this adventure. And, you know, we're two single guys and we're just getting a break. And we were both in ministry at the time. And so right when we land in Italy, we rent a car and we're so excited. We stopped for a coffee on the side of the road because that's what you do in Italy, we thought. And, you know, we come back to the car and we're driving down the freeway. And I say to my friend Kent, hey, can you get my sunglasses out of my bag in the back of the car? And he goes in the back of the car. We're still driving down the freeway, and he's just sitting back there. And I say, hey, man, it's real bright up here. You can give me my sunglasses. And he's just sitting there speechless. And so finally he turns around. He says, hey, Aaron, I can't find our luggage. And I turn, you know, like now I'm kind of veering off the freeway. I'm like, what do you mean you can't find our luggage? It's either there or it's not there. And he says, well, it's not here. And so I pull off the freeway and you know, somebody must have stolen our stuff when we stopped for that coffee. I mean, we literally had just arrived in this country. And so it was interesting, the events that followed, because we spent literally days trying to, like, figure out what happened, and we never did find our luggage, you know. And the reason we ended up spending some days is because we had to get new passports, and we couldn't get home, and it really was just a bad trip, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I realized on that trip as a single guy is most of what I owned fit in the bag that was stolen. And, you know, that was pretty unfortunate. Fortunately, you know, the most important thing that was stolen was my Bible and my journal and different things. And the thing about it is I got home and we were just kind of angry about it, you know. And I don't know if you've had an experience like that where, you know, you have these expectations and you have all these hopes for what something's going to be. And it turns out that it just doesn't go that way for whatever reason. And you just get kind of angry about it. And, you know, I kind of felt at one point we're getting bitter about it. And so I just remember talking to my friend one day. I think we're having a coffee back at home in the United States. And I said, you know what, I'm starting to hear from God. And you know what God is teaching me is you could steal our stuff, but you really can't steal our faith. And, you know, it's up to us how we respond to these trials in our lives, because, you know, that's what Jesus says. You know, I think it was John 16, where Jesus says, in this world you will have trials, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. And, you know, that's true. Sometimes we think in the Christian life, you know, we're following after Christ, and if God is for me, who could be against me? So of course I wouldn't experience trials. And yet Jesus says very plainly, in this world, you're going to have trials, but I have overcome the world. So, you know, that was an important moment of growth in my journey of faith.
Well, you know, these are all opportunities, aren't they, for us to kind of recalculate and reset, because things like this can mess with your theology. In fact, our pastor said this Sunday, if your theology doesn't include trials and suffering, you're setting yourself up for a faith crisis, you know, because and persecution too, he said. But I love what you wrote here from that story. You said, I've realized my faith in Jesus provides a secure foundation for my life that releases me to be more spontaneous, adventurous, and willing to move toward potentially outrageous circumstances. Because no matter what happens, no matter where I go, no matter who I meet, no matter what I experience, and even no matter what gets stolen from me along the way, my faith in Jesus remains the same. And I got to say, just reading about your adventures, do you feel like you have the gift of faith? I have a friend who I just feel like faith is much more instinctive to her than it is, you know, I feel like I have to grab hold of that thing and walk in it. You know, do you feel like you have kind of a, I know we all have to steward it, but do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, the listeners have taken the different, gift testing and your spiritual gifts. And certainly I do inevitably score a little bit higher in things of faith. But I think no matter who you are, no matter where you are in your faith journey, faith is something that needs to be cultivated.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm learning about faith in Christ is the more I seek after Christ, the more I seek to abide and obey, the more He grows my faith. And so I kind of compare faith. And actually, it's funny, Susie, I was just invited this week. I was down at Atlanta, and I was sharing at the Chick-fil-A corporate office. And they asked me to do a devotion that they do every Monday morning with their entire corporate staff. I just this amazing company, Chick-fil-A. And I did this devotion on faith. And I said, you know, faith is so similar to a muscle. If you want a muscle to grow, you've got to work it out. And faith is just like that. You know, you can't just sit on your backside and think your faith is going to grow. Mm-hmm. You've got to be active. You've got to be pursuing, and you've got to be seeking after the things of God and actively pursuing the growth of your faith.
You know, I think faith is also, amen. But I also would say it's so contagious, and you got to surround yourself with people who think outside the box. And you've got a friend named David in your chapter titled The Fog. We've got probably like 3 minutes left before we pray. Tell us about David and just his sort of out-of-the-box kind of faith.
I totally agree. I wouldn't do half the things that the Lord's allowed me to do without these amazing godly men and women that he's placed in my life. And David's one of them. Just a phenomenal individual. Had a 25-year corporate America career and ended up at the end of his corporate career as the chief storyteller for Microsoft. Direct report to Bill Gates. And, you know, so it's a big job, big position. And one day his pastor's preaching, and he's preaching on how Jesus called the first disciples. And, you know, I remember David shared with me one time that early in his career, his wife leaned over at church as this missionary was sharing. And his wife said, "Hey, honey, could you ever picture you and I going to the mission field?" And David looked back at his wife, and he said, "Honey, you and I are givers. We're not goers." And I don't know if you've had that experience. But you know, 25 years later, God miraculously, radically called David to leave everything, sold everything in Seattle there at the Microsoft corporate headquarters, and they moved down to Santiago, Chile, where they still are today,
wow,
serving the Lord as church planters.
Amazing.
So it's just amazing how God works in different people's lives.
So I want you to speak to this person, Aaron, listening today. They feel their heart, they're just in knots inside, because on one hand, they want everything God has, but they know it may cost them that security, or may cost them their reputation, or it may cost them their fears, because those fears are rising up. What next steps, what advice would you have for them?
Yeah, I don't know why this quote came to my mind when you asked me that question, Susie, but I remember Through the Gates of Splendor, Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose."
Mm.
And I often think of that quote when I feel that God is asking me to step out of the boat and exercise faith in different circumstances. And again, faith doesn't have to be that we're moving to a third world country. Faith might just be, offering a cup of water to a stranger. It could be just these everyday things. You know, our lives are filled with these everyday realities. And I think God doesn't ask us to walk before we can crawl. And so I think to the person that is just wrestling with, you know, what is God asking me to do? And am I willing? Do I want to step out in that way? He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose.
Wow, Aaron, I've so loved this conversation. I hope you'll come back and chat with us again sometime. Just love who Jesus is in you. And as we get ready to wrap, I'm wondering if you would pray for that very person you just spoke to.
Definitely. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for those who are listening right this very moment. And as we wrestle and we struggle with the things of faith and the things that you have created for us to do, your word says that you have created and prepared in advance good things for us to be involved with. And yet we have a responsibility. We either in all the different moments of our life choose to obey, we trust, we lean into you, or we don't. And so God, as we think about that right this very moment, Father, I pray that you would give us courage. I pray that you'd give us boldness. I pray that you'd give us a greater vision and revelation of who your Son Jesus is in our life. Mm-hmm. And I pray this for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today. What a delight.
Thank you so much, Susie. Pleasure to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Treadway is his name, and the title of his book is Outrageous. Write in if you would like your name in the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise, and just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for hour two, I'll talk to Sam Storms. Title of his book is Practicing the Power, Welcoming the Gifts of the Holy Spirit in Your Life. Another powerful conversation is up ahead next, so don't go away. Hour two is up next.